Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. The headlines: the Taoiseach says COVID vaccine cert issued in the Republic will be recognised in Northern Ireland. It's too early to say whether the spread of the Delta variant has plateaued, according to the HSE. The HSE has also suggested Ireland may not achieve herd immunity to COVID-19. And the Dáil's Business Committee met earlier today to discuss criticism of the Oireachtas from President Michael D. Higgins. And the government has been urged to explain its decision to suspend funding for new eating disorder services last year. We'll have those stories in full and more. Chris Ashmore has the latest in sport, and we'll have Nuacht Osgiliga with Colm Ferriter all coming up within the next half hour. Back to our main story now, and the Taoiseach says COVID vaccine certs issued in the Republic of Ireland will be recognised in the North. The UK is not part of the EU's digital COVID cert system, which has led to some concerns that people wouldn't be able to use proof of vaccination in Northern Ireland in the Republic, and vice versa. Leo Varadkar says vaccine certs from both jurisdictions will work across the island of Ireland.
Touched on the vaccine programme, as was mentioned, and the efforts we're making to align the various different COVID certificates and apps and passes north and south so that they're mutually recognised and there aren't any undue impediments to people travelling between the two jurisdictions and taking staycations in any part of the island.
It's too early to say whether the spread of the Delta variant has plateaued, according to the HSE. The number of new cases has held fairly steady over the past week. Yesterday's figure was 1,361 new confirmed cases of the virus. Chief Clinical Officer for the HSE, Dr. Colm Henry, says they're hopeful for a plateau in COVID case numbers, but it's too early to say how important the figures are currently.
We've had to buy cents at a very expensive price when we make predictions. So the modelling has been from the more optimistic projection says up to 4,000 cases a day in September, up to 14,000 cases a day. Certainly the trend in the past week in terms of cases has been towards the more optimistic side. And while it's too early to say whether or not this has plateaued, the indications over the past 5 or 6 days certainly showed some signs of the breaks beginning to take hold.
Colm Henry has also suggested Ireland may not achieve herd immunity to COVID-19. He suggested the rapidly changing picture of the virus may mean herd immunity cannot be achieved here. He says the best way to approach it is to make sure as many people as possible become vaccinated.
We now know we've dealt with two successively more transmissible types of the variant, and I think our aim now is not to reach some maybe elusive goal of 90-95% or whatever it is of the population, but to vaccinate as many people as possible. The virus being what it is, where it mutates and new versions come along, it may well be that this concept of herd immunity doesn't really apply to something like the virus.
1,101 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Northern Ireland in the last 24 hours. There have also been 3 additional COVID-related deaths reported there. 232 patients are currently being treated for the virus in hospitals in the north, with 32 of those in ICU. The Dáil's Business Committee met earlier today to discuss criticism of the Oireachtas from President Michael D. Higgins. The President says too much legislation is being left until the end of the Dáil term, leaving him too little time to consider it and fully analyse the contents of each bill. He has 7 days once a bill has been passed to him to sign it into law, yet received 9 bills on one day alone in July. Donegal TD Port McLaughlin is also the Sinn Féin party whip. He says that he shares the same concerns as the President regarding the rushing of legislation through the Dáil before the summer recess, and he is particularly criticising the government for ramming through emergency bills.
For example, the legislation that has handed over legal control of Rockall to Britain was dealt with in 45 minutes, despite the fact that Sinn Féin alone had dozens of amendments to try and make that legislation, the Marine Protection Bill, work better. This was intentional from the government. They rammed through legislation in a very arrogant fashion towards the end of recess, without proper scrutiny, without proper public observation. And it has to stop, and fair play to the President now for calling it out.
And indeed, you refer to the Rockall piece of legislation, and in general, as the Sinn Féin chief party whip in the Dáil, do you feel there's just not enough time for you and the party to properly analyse and examine each piece of legislation that's put before the Dáil as the recess approaches?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at every piece of legislation, it's supposed to go through the relevant Oireachtas committee. It's supposed to go through the Seanad. It's supposed to go through the Dáil, and that's to protect democracy, to allow as many people as possible, and of course those who are most affected by all of these pieces of legislation, so they can scrutinise it, they can propose changes, propose amendments. That's what you do in a democracy. But the government, what they have been doing is ramming through, particularly in the case of emergency legislation, with very serious decisions being made, ramming it through with absolute minimal scrutiny. So the President, in an unprecedented intervention, has called this out, has asked that it would change, and this is now over to the government to stop this arrogant practice and to do what's right when it comes to legislation.
The government has been urged to explain its decision to suspend funding for new eating disorder services last year. HSE figures show referrals to specialist treatment units rose by 60% in 2020 versus 2019 due to the impacts of lockdown, but new treatment funding was frozen during last year. Independent Donegal TD Thomas Pringle says treatment needs to be properly resourced for mental health.
We see that the government now is still towing the same line for the last number of years. So really something needs to happen. We need to see the implementation, and we need to see the government coming to terms with the fact that mental health services have been vastly underfunded for many years, and that needs to be reversed.
A woman has appeared in court in Belfast accused of murdering her baby son. Raluca Aona Tagani is accused of killing Liam O'Keefe in a house in the Ardoyne area. Chelsea Keeley reports from Laganside Courthouse.
The baby boy, Liam O'Keefe, was killed at a house in the Ardoyne area of North Belfast on Tuesday. His mum, Raluca Aona Tagani, the person accused of taking his life, the 29-year-old, who's originally from Romania, is also accused of the attempted murder of a young girl who's still in a critical condition in hospital. The accused, whose address wasn't given to the court, appeared via video link here earlier from a cell. No application for bail was made, and she was remanded in custody to appear again next month.
A Fianna Fáil councillor in West Donegal says if the current defective blocks working group does not deliver 100% redress or ease the concerns of mica-affected homeowners, then she will support another major protest in Dublin. On today's 9 till noon show, councillor Nori McGarvey said the last march was conducted in a responsible way and led to the creation of the working group. After its mandate was extended until September, Councillor McGarvey says she's hopeful it will lead to a solution which is acceptable to all sides. She says the government must listen to the affected families.
They have outlined several times to us why the 90-10 scheme will not work, and that 100% is what is needed. We have seen that from the other schemes in the other parts of the country with the pyrite previous to this. I know that not an excuse, but the line the government are coming from is that it's going to take billion euro to solve all this. But at the end of the day, for us here in Donegal too, it's not about the money. It's about getting people back into their homes safely. I know they have to look at the scheme as it is at the moment and see where it can be sorted out. We have all said that problems with the scheme. We have offered solutions or resolutions that maybe could be looked at. So I know these things all take time. There is no magic wand. They have to look at every angle on it. But I would hope that they will be able to come up with something before the end of September.
8,014 people were registered as homeless in the Republic of Ireland in June, a slight increase on the previous month. However, the figure is an 8% drop on the total recorded for the same period last year. 932 families were accessing emergency accommodation in June, including over 2,000 children. Focus Ireland Communications Officer Conor Culkin says this is very concerning.
Each number is an individual. Each number can be a baby, can be a little boy, a little girl. Even with the recent progress in the last year and a half, the number of families homeless remains four times the level it was in 2014, when the then Minister for Housing, Jan O'Sullivan, declared it as an emergency crisis. So we've seen a huge increase, particularly in the last 6-7 years, in family homelessness.
A Donegal councillor is calling for the current local improvement scheme to be scrapped and replaced with an alternative that would better suit the needs of rural Ireland. Yesterday, an extra 491,000 euro was confirmed for Donegal, bringing the county's 2021 total for LIS funding to just over 1.1 million euro. However, Councillor Micheál Colm McGilla Aspig says at current ILS allocation rates, it would take Donegal County Council 30 years to process and follow through on all the requests they currently have for improvements to non-national roads, even without any new applications. Councillor McGilla Aspig says the current scheme does not come anywhere near what is required.
Well, yet again, here we see the second tranche of this money get it from the Dublin government, but it doesn't come anywhere near the needs that exist here in Donegal. We have probably one of the biggest road infrastructure within the whole Free State, and the money that we are getting and the pace that we're getting at that, it could take anything up to 30 plus years to do all the roads that have been applied for to date. We have been consistently on to the government, raising the issue, highlighting the issue that the money that have been sent is not enough to meet the demand that are out there. And if you look at the scheme, it's very much focused on farming, which is nothing wrong with that, and bogs. But the reality is, in terms of farming and herd numbering, is there haven't been people farming as it was many years ago. A lot of families have given up their herd numbers. So a lot of families, so you could have a road with maybe about 5, 6, anything up to 20, 30 houses in it. But because there's no herd number in it, they're not meeting the needs. The scheme needs to be re-looked at. And what we need is more funding, proper funding, not the pennies that are being punched out there at every couple of months. When you look at it all together, certainly it sounds like there's a huge amount of money. But if you look at the size of Donegal, from Buncrana to Bundoran to the top of Anishon to our islands off the coast here, right on into East Donegal, it's a massive area with a massive infrastructure. It does not meet the needs of our county. And our TDs know this, and especially the TDs that are in government.
The government is being urged to agree to a bill which would introduce 3 additional bank holidays. People Before Profit is introducing the proposals when the Dáil reopens in September, which, if passed, would bring the total number of public holidays in Ireland to 12. TD Richard Boyd Barrett believes there should be no opposition to the bill.
I think there's been a lot of words around the possibility of extra bank holidays and about some sort of reward for those that have suffered and who've contributed so much during COVID, but we haven't seen anything tangible. So this is something tangible that the government could do. So let's see the government match their words of support and recognition for workers with actual measures.
It's 12 minutes past 5. We'll take a quick break now. Sport with Chris is coming up next.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 over to Chris now with the sport.
Thanks very much, Daniel. Well, there's plenty of athletics coming up on what will be day 8 of the Olympics in Tokyo. And Donegal's Mark English will be among the Irish athletes in action. He goes in the 5th heat of the men's 800 metres in the small hours of tomorrow morning. Well, I've been speaking to Highland Radio's athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, ahead of the race.
Well, I mean, any Olympic or world heats are always, always, always going to be tough. The situation for Mark, it's 3, the first 3 across the line, plus 6 fastest after that. So 24 into the semi-finals from the 6 heats, I think it is. So there's a couple of really, really, really fast guys in there. But I kind of had a good study of it, and I do believe that that he is capable of progressing.
And of course, he's going into it full of confidence too.
Well, yes, absolutely. And his training, his pre-games and the training camp and the Irish training camp has gone extremely well. So, you know, his coach, Finn Kelly, is there with him as well. So that's all positive. So, I don't know, he's going in with good things. So he's just, as we've always said, you never can look past the first round. And that's really it. And really, every round, every race is a final, really, in many respects for the like of him. So he's just got to go for it. He's really got to nail it in the early morning, actually, Irish time, about 20 past 2, I think it is, right? 22 minutes past 2, actually.
So big race for Mark English. Also in the small hours of the morning, Sarah Lavin will be in heat 2 of the women's 100 metres hurdles at about 7 minutes to 3 a.m. And then later on, of course, we have that mixed 4x400 metres relay final to look forward to with the Irish contingent of Killen Green, Phil Healy, Sophie Becker and Chris O'Donnell. Well, in golf, Ireland's Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy are both very much in the mix ahead of the third round. McIlroy had a 66, Lowry had a 65. Xander Schofield of the United States had an 8 under 63 as he put the United States in the gold position before the second round was abandoned due to lightning. Well, McIlroy believes that consistent good scoring will be needed to win.
With the humidity and the soft conditions, it's I don't feel like it's going to play much tougher as the week goes on. So, I would imagine seven. I'd imagine you're going to have to get to, 15, between 15 and 18 under, I think is probably going to be a good running score.
And staying with Olympics news, Aidan Walsh is nursing an ankle injury ahead of Sunday's welterweight boxing semi-final. He has secured at least a bronze medal following that split decision win over Mauritian Mervyn Clare. But Walsh hurt his ankle during the celebration. Earlier today, Kelly Harrington progressed to the lightweight quarterfinals with a win over Rebecca Nicoli of Italy. And Irish swimmer Daniel Whitman has taken 9 seconds off his own national record in winning the 1500 metres freestyle heat. He finished in 20th place overall. The Irish women's hockey team will need to beat reigning champions Great Britain if they're to qualify in Pool A. They lost 1-0 to India in their latest outing. And in other Olympic news, Annalisa Murphy says she's unlikely to compete at the Paris Games in 3 years' time. The Dubliner, who won silver in sailing in Rio in 2016, missed out on a place in the laser radial medal final. Now, some news just in. 40,000 spectators will be allowed to attend this year's All-Ireland Finals. The Minister of State for Sport, Jack Chambers, announced the easing of restrictions this afternoon. The All-Ireland semi-finals will be allowed to have attendances of 24,000, while the Republic of Ireland's World Cup qualifiers against Azerbaijan and Serbia will see 25,000 fans at the Aviva Stadium. Turning to other matters in Gaelic games, and this weekend sees the Ulster Championship final at Croke Park. 4 o'clock throw-in for Tyrone and Monaghan. It'll be a first Ulster final in 4 years for Tyrone, and they'll be hoping for a similar result this time around as that was the last time that they brought the Anglo-Celt Cup back to the Red Hand County. Well, Tyrone captain Pura Campsie says it's an honour to captain the side.
It's going to be a tough test, as I said before, and Monaghan are a very strong side. Like, they've a number of scoring forwards and scoring threats. And I think you see that in the RMI game. So I think that'll be seen on Saturday. It's a very hard thing to defend against, especially whenever you've got two or three runners coming at you, and it's if they go in and goal and they take a goal, it could be game over. And it's really, as you said, there's black cards and stuff there now that you can get, and it can hurt the team massively. But it's tough, but you just sort of have to take it and you try your best.
Well, Monaghan featured in 3 consecutive Ulster finals between 2013 and 2015, claiming victory in 2 of those. Since then, however, the Farnley men haven't been able to reproduce that magic. Monaghan manager David McCaig says no matter who you play in the Ulster final, it's always tough.
The National League game previous in the year would have absolutely no impact on the game. It'll be, obviously from the first whistle to the last whistle, it'll be fierce, keenly contested. We're very hungry to win. Tyrone are very hungry to win. And it'll just be simply about who performs the various aspects of the game best on Saturday evening. And we're expecting a huge challenge, but I'm sure they're expecting a huge challenge as well. And that's the nature of the Ulster Championship. Especially when you get to the closing stages of it, the competition ratchets up and ratchets up with every round. So we're expecting a really tough test and a really tough competition on Saturday evening.
Meanwhile, it promises to be an emotional night at the athletics grounds in Armagh. Monaghan's under-20s return to the field a fortnight after the tragic death of their captain, Brendan Ogue Duffy. They face down in the final of the Ulster Under-20 Football Championship. 7:30, a throw-in for that one. And staying with Gaelic games, Davy Fitzgerald has stood down as Wexford hurling manager after 5 years, citing the amount of travel for him as being a major factor. He led Wexford to a Leinster title in 2019. Staying with hurling, the Nicky Rackard Cup final is on at Croke Park tomorrow. That's the curtain raiser there. 1:30 throw-in, Tyrone against Mayo. We'll have updates on Highland Radio Saturday Sport. And staying with Gaelic games, action over the weekend. On Sunday, of course, we have the Leinster Senior Football Championship decider, Dublin against Kildare, 4 o'clock start for that. And the Christy Ring Cup features Derry and Offaly with a 1 o'clock throw-in. A little bit closer to home, Naoimh Pádraic in Lifford is the venue for the Ladies Under-16 Championship Silver Final, Donegal meeting Armagh, and that's on tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Moving on to soccer, Arsenal have completed the signing of Ben White from Brighton. It's believed the centre-back could eventually cost as much as €59 million. Here at home, there's a top-of-the-table clash tonight in the SSE Airtricity Premier Division. Shamrock Rovers take on St Patrick's Athletic at Tallaght Stadium. It's a match that will be eagerly looked forward to. That has an 8 o'clock start at 7.45. Drogheda United play Waterford. Derry City are in action away to Longford Town tomorrow. Finn Harps have no game this weekend and they were due to play Bohemians on Bank Holiday Monday. But that match has now been postponed on account of Bohemians' successful win in the Europa Conference qualifier last night. Now, just also, there is one game going ahead on Bank Holiday Monday, Sligo Rovers against Dundalk. Meanwhile, in boxing, the Ricky Hatton-trained Donegal super welterweight Brett McGinty will be in action as promoter Mick Hennessy will showcase some rising boxing stars at the Coventry Sky Dome Arena on Friday the 10th of September. As well as the St. Johnstone boxer, the card will also feature Sam Eggington, who won the WBC silver middleweight title in a thrilling battle with Carlos Molina in May. And also on the card will be County Monaghan boxer Steve McKenna. The full card will be announced in the coming weeks. In cricket, it's a big weekend here in the Northwest. The Sperrin Springs T20 final is on at 6:30 this evening. Killy Clooney against St Johnstone. The Northwest Senior League has action with four games in the Premier Division tomorrow. There's also games in the Championship. And on Sunday, we can look forward to the Northwest Senior Cup quarterfinals. In motorsport, Valtteri Bottas led Lewis Hamilton in a Mercedes 1-2 ahead of Red Bull's Max Verstappen in the second practice at the Hungarian Grand Prix. And in cycling, the Donegal Sports Partnership through Donegal County Council has secured funding from the Department of Transport to support a limited number of cycling events during National Bike Week in September. And clubs, community organisations, disability groups, schools and workplace organisations can apply for funding. You can contact the Donegal Sports Partnership for more details. And finally, for the moment, just to let you know that the final of the Letterkenny Summer Cup at the Letterkenny Community Centre is on tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Cockhill Celtic against Letterkenny Crusaders. And that is your Friday evening sport.
Thanks for that, Chris. August and Nish, on Nuit, the Colm Ferreter.
Shamer Mahas, the Colm Ferreter, and Shot, learn the Breeves guilty. To Emily Leary, a Connor Nigeliga, Major La Policy, Nashun to the Flannel Tihiok, the Sigiltuk, Major Le Press Ratches, the Hud Saku, Tashigiri Nish Jakra, the One Church Nigeltuk, the Cad Planala Oil, and the Ganters Finn, Jewelty Tur Cad Planala Erhini, On Ach Erin Awart, Darlish, Nakorli Achula. Nahwil Rechtanish Achula Aku, Devrishin, Nifajer, Le Lanun Oga, Cad Planala, a oil, and a Gantar Duhish Fain. Tasha Barty hit a Connor Nigeliga Factus, a Ractal con Arj Nanudras, August and Morfobble, a Euro Erin Ibe, a Jerayalin, Hug Kjoltor Ahanta, Brendan Obeglia, Kurcher and Geltuk, Ear Hushkirch and Hyundai con Lershu Yenu. Erin Kesht, Lilin, the Shaktinia. Tarachis Janta Egudrus Nigeltukta, Confalcia, a Hurt River Ogre, Pro Am Pack, Goel Bart Janta Aku, and Holocht Prantala, August Pakistiakta, Euroflex, a Canard Ta Enid, the Hodjanya Holocht, Lonnie Egan Farkno, Erin Scraban, Ingi Doors. Curry and Estiocht Pro Am Pack, Locomus Margiocta, August Sanyolish Tarica, Ata Omprama. Again, Yah Lahar Chonskadala, Major Lesha and Ratchets. Carter Foelcher River, Haija Ur Nahagriakta Changa, Tishmahori Nigeltakta, Achiolu Gohafigil and Chakden Shaw, Taharig Sul Gogodjahi and Taija Lyasa Wench, As Nahakwani, Santasaha, Ata a Carter Foil, Don Frosis Plana La Changa, Goharia Mar Awinen and Process La Chile Geltakta, Tag Togal Chile Legeliga. Karu 1.6 million euro foil da Hishmahori na Geltakta na Malav, con Carlo Comasaku, Takiakti a Coronach, da Haile sna Cantar Geltakta. Augusta Kara Toka ag Forest na Geliga, da Eretish o Agriakti Pobble, don Skem Farberha, Lienri Geliga. Is a name na Skema and Geliga a Karakon Kin, a Hahu, Augusta Wunu, ar bhain cantars le béim fai leith ar farbert agus ar aimiú plána le teangas sa cantar atá rán fáirte san iritas. Is é de luain an dearna lead mí lúnasa a luaitar mar spreachtáta le hé iritas don scéim. Sin mo chud se go léir slán agus planacht.
Gór mé helgat colm. To the weather now, and tonight will be largely cloudy with well-scattered showers and occasional clear spells. Lowest temperatures tonight of 9 to 13 degrees. And finally, our main headlines once again this evening. The Taoiseach says COVID vaccine certs issued in the Republic and in the North will be recognised in both states. It's too early to say whether the spread of the Delta variant has plateaued, according to the HSE. The HSE also say Ireland may not achieve herd immunity to COVID-19 due to the rapidly changing picture of the virus. And the Dáil's Business Committee met earlier today to discuss criticism of the Oireachtas from President Michael D. Higgins. That's all from us for now. We'll have headlines for you again at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Friday evening, July the 30th. The death has occurred in the Lake House Port na Bla of Peter McCarry, formerly of Roisin, Dunfanaghy. His remains will repose in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, from 7 o'clock this evening, Friday. Funeral mass there tomorrow at 11 a.m. with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Any inquiries to John Sweeney, funeral director. The death has taken place of Mary McGlinchey, Glasaults, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her son Jerry's residence in Glasaults. Funeral leaving there on Sunday at 10:15 a.m, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Mrs. May McGee Nee Scott, Riverview, St. Johnson. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral service at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon in St. Johnson Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Gibson funeral directors. The death has taken place of Danny McShane, 8 Mount Carmel Heights, Strabane, and formerly of Rafoe. Funeral leaving his home on Sunday morning at 11:20 a.m. for Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 12 noon, followed by interment in St. Union Cemetery, Rafoe. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Assistance Dogs NI, care of Quigley funeral directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam on mcmmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Mary McDade, Nee Gillan, Ballysalla, Colkeeny, Mallon, formerly of Torna Bratley, Clonmany. Mary's funeral mass will take place tomorrow at 11 a.m. in St. Patrick's Church, Aga Clay, Mallon, followed by burial in the Church of the Sacred Heart Graveyard, Carndonagh. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please, donations if desired to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Catherine Gallagher, 3 Tara Court, Letterkenny. Removal from her home today, going to the Gospel Hall, Church Lane, Letterkenny, to repose overnight. House private, please, at the request of the deceased. Funeral service tomorrow at 2 p.m, followed by burial in the family plot in the Church of Ireland Graveyard, Rosnakill, Kerrykeel. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. All inquiries to Terence McClintock, funeral director.